Guys, we're continuing our series today on heroes, okay? And the main reason we're doing this, because we're talking about the power that is available. Maybe you have seen the show called Heroes. How many of you have seen it here? Heroes is a show on NBC. But what happens is, it's talking about the lives of people who have supernatural powers. There's one girl there, I think her name is Claire. She has this ability to grow her parts back on. So let's say her finger gets cut off, it grows back on. So all these people have these supernatural abilities. One time she was burned and she came out and just healed herself pretty much. So these people have the supernatural power to do things. Some people fly. Some people have ability to go into time. So there's a lot of different abilities. And so we chose this series based on this fictional show, but supernatural power is not just something we read about or hear about on TV or see it on TV. We as Christians have supernatural power available to us as well. Now, if we know Jesus who came into this world, we know that he did some supernatural things. One thing, walking on water, was supernatural. I'm kind of scientific. You know, I'm always trying to explain things. Remember, two Christmases ago, I explained virgin birth and how it's easy to understand. It's not even a miracle. Well, it is a miracle, but it's not. Okay? Then there was other theories from the Bible that I can scientifically explain. What happens is that our science is going so far into the future, and the scientists are making so many discoveries that a lot of things in the Bible you can understand. So the next one I'm trying to understand, or at least, you know, explain, understand, is how Jesus walked on water. How did he do that? Of course it was supernatural. But supernatural is something we can't understand. Because for Jesus, it's not supernatural. For Jesus walking on water, it's natural. For Jesus raising somebody from the dead is natural. Somehow he understands. For Jesus casting out evil spirits, for some reason it's natural. He's not even freaked out about it. His disciples otherwise, you know, they're so, whoa. People are amazed at what he's doing. For him it's like nothing. For Jesus to appear in one room and disappear is not supernatural. He does it. And someday, guys, we will have these bodies, new bodies the Bible talks about, that will look like Jesus. And he had an ability to just appear in a room and stand in the middle of them and say, hey, how you doing? Peace. Right? So Jesus had supernatural power. But my question is today, did he leave us here on earth without any power? Because obviously, if you read Bible a little bit, Bible talks about a power. It talks about gifts of the Spirit. It talks about supernatural abilities. Do you remember in James it says that Elijah was a man just like us, and he prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again and it rained again. He said he was just a man like us. So what makes the difference? Why do some people express this supernatural power? Where do they get it? How do they use it? And others just live such a natural and boring lives like us. And honestly, if we live by the Spirit, our life becomes supernatural. If we live by the flesh, it's kind of all the same. An interesting thing is, sin is kind of interesting in the beginning, right? Sin is kind of interesting. It entices you. It draws you. But after a while, after you sin, it makes you sick. Anyway, so today we're going to talk about prayer that works. Okay? Bible says if anybody is sick among you, it says, call upon the elders of the church, and they will pray for you, and anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith will heal a person. So today we want to talk about prayer. Now there's two major types of prayer. There's prayer with your mind, and prayer in the spirit. And so today I'm going to talk about that type of prayer. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, 15, he says this, I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with my mind also. So today I want to talk about what's the difference between praying in the Spirit and praying with your mind. Well, I'm just going to quickly explain what it is to pray with your mind. It's very easy. You all already know it. Praying with your mind means using your mind to pray. You can do it by speaking the words and not speaking the words. Let me pray for somebody with my mind. Lord, I pray for Francis. I pray that you bless him so his car doesn't break, his Civic. That's a prayer with my mind. I knew that he has a car. You know, I didn't just say, tree, sun, flower, ocean. I prayed using my mind, right? I didn't just randomly choose words. I prayed using my mind. Paul says, so I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with my mind, meaning with my intellect. Today I don't want to talk because all of you already know how to pray with your mind. Today I want to talk to you about praying in the Spirit. And this subject is so widespread, it's going to take me some effort to keep it simple, okay? So please be patient with me. Everybody in this world prays. Would you agree? Believers pray, unbelievers pray. Okay? I have noticed that people who get in trouble, even if they don't believe in God, they do one of two things. Either they pray or curse. When people get in trouble, they either pray or curse. But even if they curse initially, they pray eventually. Amen. So everybody prays. You're a Christian or un-Christian. You are Muslim, Buddhist. Even if you are satanic. You know there are satanic churches? They pray. So just because you pray doesn't make you righteous with God. Because everybody prays when they get into trouble. An interesting thing is that I believe that prayer is universal for human beings. I believe prayer is almost like an instinct. When a child wants something from the parent, they pray. Mommy, please, please, mommy, please. Daddy, please, can I please, 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 please. Yesterday, me and Alex went driving and doing some stuff, and he wanted ice cream, and I said, whenever we see an ice cream place, we'll go. And then we would drive, and there would be no Dairy Queen or anything like that, you know, on our way. And so he would just be, come on, I want ice cream now, you know, and he would just pray, you know. So prayer is universal. And when something supernatural happens, like when you are in situations that are difficult, the natural instinct is to pray. And atheists who don't even believe in God, they pray. And it works. Now, just because you pray, different people pray to different gods. Paul says there's only one God with a big G. And there's other gods with little g's, many gods with little g's. And so when you pray and you don't know who you're praying, you're not necessarily praying to God. There is a difference in who is praying and how they're praying. Because when satanic people pray to Satan, they're not praying to God, correct? Who answers their prayer? You got to know who you're praying to. That's important. Now, I'm not going to make a I'm not going to say that when an unbeliever prays to God, he gets Satan. That's not what I'm saying. But you must know who to pray to. You must know so who's going to answer your prayer. Because prayer works by faith. Now, how does prayer work? Prayer is like a seed that's thrown in time. Okay? What you do, time is like the ground. Right now is a springtime, so they till the ground, right? And then they put a seed in the ground. And so what happens is, a seed that is good will grow. A seed that is not good will not grow. So prayer is like seed. You throw it in time, and you let time bring you the answer. You're really throwing it to God, but it works in time. See, in a spiritual world, there is no time. Remember Peter says, for God, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So that's why sometimes when we pray, we don't receive the answer right away. I believe praying in time and throwing your seed in time. And what happens is God will give you answers. So many times in my life, I would pray and just leave it and forget. And what I prayed for came to pass a week later or a month later or even a year later. Prayer really works, but you can't fret about prayer. You can't be praying and say, God, I want it now, 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 now. I want it now, God. How come it's not happening? Okay, I don't believe in you. Okay? And that's how a lot of people pray, and that's how they get discouraged. You got to understand what prayer is. Just throw it up there into the spiritual world, throw it into God, and let Him throw you back whatever He wants to give you. Now, there's prayer with wrong motives. And they're prayer according to God's will. Now, what is prayer with their own motives? Let me give you an example. Let's say a wife comes to her husband at night. He's already going to bed. And she says, dear, can you give me $100? And he says, sure. So she takes $100 and goes and pays another man and sleeps with him. In James chapter 3, it says this. You adulteresses, Bible says, and it's female adulteresses, not adulterer, adulteresses, a female, because we are the body of Christ. He says, the reason you don't receive, the reason your answer, prayer is not answered is because you're praying amiss. You're praying for your own pleasure. You're praying to go and make love with material things. So you're asking God, you're saying, God, can I have something? And instead of having you and God enjoy that, you go and spend it with something else that God hates. Let me explain to you a little bit more. When my wife asked me for money, and she doesn't, she just... She's got a card, yes. No credit cards though, praise God. Cash card. When she asks me something, she goes buys it. And it's always for herself, always for herself. I kind of feel cheated, wouldn't you? I'm not saying she does that. She always buy, like yesterday, she bought me this shirt. So, she didn't even tell me what she bought for herself. Anyway, but the point, the reason God says, when you pray, pray that both of us would like it. When my wife asked me for money, let's say she did ask me for money, I would hope that she would buy something that both of us could enjoy. That's what God is asking for. God says, when you pray, make sure that I like it as well. Don't pray for a car that's going to take you away from me. And the next time in 5 years, when you're tired of your car, you'll come again and be with me. God says, if you're praying for the car, let this car be for my glory. So both of us can enjoy it. I can enjoy the glory, you can enjoy the car. You see what I mean? But when we're selfish and we're praying only to get rich, when we're only praying to get success or whatever it is you're praying for, God is not really happy about that. But when you're praying something for something that will bring glory to God and will bless you, that's the kind of prayers God answers. He answers the prayers according to His will. When you're praying for a spouse, for a husband or wife, we got a lot of young people, it's important to pray with the mind that God, this family that I'm trying to build is going to bring you glory. It's not just going to be me having a hot wife, you know, right next to me and showing her off and not ever just bring you glory through my marriage, through my relationship. About 4 months ago, I received a magazine called Psychology Today. And in Psychology Today, they had a topic on atheists in the pulpit. And they talked about people who preach the Bible, but they really don't believe in God. And some of them here says that they're so tired of answering people's questions, like going to the hospital and answering biblically the questions without really believing it. And they said, I don't know if we can do that. But interesting thing, that atheists who are still preaching, which is kind of hypocritical, I want to read you something what they say here. He says, I stopped believing in God. So this is what he says. I don't have anyone to talk to in my heart. The prayers I used to say, I simply don't bother anymore. I obviously regard prayer to be silly. But it was comforting It was comforting place that I could go. I've let that go. And there is a void. I hopefully can be able to replace by appreciating being alive. So this person says, prayer used to be important to him, and now, since he stopped believing in God, he's trying to not pray. That's what it's talking about. And he said, it's leaving this void inside of my heart. And hopefully, he says, I can replace it just by appreciating being alive. Prayer is important, guys. Even if you're not a believer, prayer is still important in your life. Prayer is powerful. It's an instinct. It's an ability that God has put in inside of us. So that's the first type of prayer, praying with your mind. Now I want to talk to you about different kind of prayer, and that's only available to Christians. Now, the general prayer is available to anybody. Anybody could pray, as I have shown to you. There is one prayer that's not available to everybody, and that's praying in the Spirit. In Jude 1:20, it says this, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Holy Spirit? Today we're gonna discuss that. Well, a lot of people say that it's praying in tongues. Actually, one of the nine gifts of the Spirit is praying in tongues. I believe in that gift. I use that gift. But today I want to show you even deeper, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Why did God give this ability to the church? And let me read to you how this came about. This is in Acts 2:1. Are you guys still here with me? Okay. Is it warm in here or no? Perfect. Cold. Okay, fine. Let me read this. Acts 2:1. When the day of Pentecost has fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there is another place, and it's written in Acts 10:44. This is talking about Cornelius, the Italian centurion. You remember that story? He was a godly man. He was praying. And notice, he was just praying. He didn't even believe in God. He believed in God, but he didn't know what God he was praying to. But he was honest and righteous, Bible says. So he was praying, and an angel appeared to him. And he says, go get Peter out of Caesarea and bring him back, and he's going to tell you whatever you need to know. So when Peter came and started preaching to them, this is what happens. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And then this is verse 46. For they heard them speaking with tongues, magnifying God. So when the Holy Spirit would fall upon people in the New Testament, many of them would begin to speak in tongues. So today we want to talk about, why did God give us this gift? Next week we're going to discuss what is it for? How can we use it practically? Okay, so why did God give this ability to the church? I want to read something from C.S. Lewis. Is that okay? The book is called Mere Christianity. And Jude says that it's for building up our holy faith, praying in the Spirit. So by praying in the Spirit, you build your faith. Bible says, he who prays in the Spirit edifies himself. So whenever you pray in the Spirit, you edify yourself. Whenever you prophesy, you edify the church or other people, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to what C.S. Lewis says about building yourself. Imagine yourself as a living house. Bible says you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, correct? God comes in to rebuild that house. Now, when we start with God, we're all a messed up house. Nobody wants to live there. Amen. Have you ever been to a very old house, foreclosure maybe house? Smells bad. They had dogs, cats in there. They had smoking and drinking and other things in there. And it smells bad. I mean, the windows are hanging, the doors are, there's holes in the walls, you know. Nobody wants to live there. Well, that's what we look like when God starts with us. So when we first get saved, that's what we look like. That's what God does. At first, perhaps, you can understand what God is doing. He's getting drains unplugged, stopping the leaks in the roof, and so on. You knew that these jobs needed doing, and so you were not surprised. Some of us, when we get saved, we know there's some things God wants to do in our life. We expect that. Well, let's keep going. But presently, He starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts the person. And it seems not to make any sense. What on earth is God up to? The explanation is that He is building quite a different house from the one you thought of. Throwing out new wing here, putting an extra floor here, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought you were just being remodeled. But He is building a palace. So Bible says, building yourself up in most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. When we came to God, we were maybe cursing, doing bad stuff. And when we came to God, we expected God to get rid of that in our life. We expected Him to first take away smoking, drinking, you know, partying and all those things. But now, some of the people get surprised. They say, God, I'm good now. I'm doing good. I'm a good person now, God. I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do drugs, I don't do this. What's going on? Why do I feel so still in the remodeling? I feel like you're destroying one part and building something new. Well, God will do it with your permission sometimes, or sometimes without your permission. And what it means is praying in the Holy Spirit builds a person. You begin to submit yourself to the Spirit of God willingly. You know, Bible says sometimes we don't even know what to pray about. But Holy Spirit prays for us. Let me give you an illustration. I've told this before. One time, it was a couple of years ago, I couldn't sleep at night for some reason. At 2:30 in the morning, somewhere in there, I just woke up and couldn't sleep. And I didn't know what to do, but I've heard this before. Whenever you can't sleep, just pray. And I didn't know what to pray for. I was like, Lord, I pray that you protect me, blah, blah, blah. I didn't know what to pray for. I mean, what do you pray for in the middle of the night? You just can't sleep. And so I started praying in the Spirit. I prayed in the Spirit for about maybe 10 to 15 minutes. And then I went to sleep again. Next day, I'm climbing a tree next to a high-powered wires. And so I'm cutting this tree down, and I'm roping it, you know, like you should. And I'm roping it down, and the branch, a limb, falls on 15,000. Those are high power. Not 30 feet from the ground, 40 feet from the ground once. Falls on it and does not disconnect from the branch. So it's connected to the branch. I am hanging on the branch. The branch is laying on the wires. Oh, I freak out, obviously. That could have been the it for my life. What I hear a tree starts buzzing, the whole tree. I hear leaves starts going, like a lot of it, like bugs are, you know, like everywhere. I hear it. As soon as I move a little bit, I feel vibration going through me. You know, like you have that shock, little shock. It's not like enormous, but it's a shock going through your body. You're vibrating pretty much. So I shout to my guy who was holding the rope. I said, just drop it. Thank God when he dropped, the branch disconnected from the tree and fell. I didn't know what to pray for. And then it came to me. Do you know why you woke up yesterday? Do you know why I was bothering you yesterday? I didn't know it yesterday, but I knew it today. You don't know what to pray about, Bible says. How do you know what to pray about? How do you know when a spirit is telling you something? And what do? Whenever you feel this discomfort in your spirit. Sometimes I would be driving And this feeling like butterflies comes into your stomach. How many of you had that? It's like sometimes you get it when you feel guilty, but sometimes you get it when Holy Spirit wants to talk to you. And so when you're driving, God, what's going on? Something is happening, but I don't know what. What do you do in those cases? When you don't know what to pray about. Bible says praying in the Spirit. Because Spirit knows all things and my mind doesn't know all things. So Bible says I will pray with my mind, but I will also pray with my spirit. Praying in the Spirit does not always mean that you have to make a sound. And this is very interesting. There is countless times when I pray in the Spirit without making a word. Without even saying a word. How many of you know what I'm talking about right now? Okay, let me just explain. Many times I would be praying in my thoughts or inside of my soul. It's not even thoughts, it's here. It's like right in here. And then somebody just calls me for no reason. I see somebody and I said, I just been praying for you. And you're like, well, I didn't say a word. I wasn't even thinking about them, but it's almost like a thought is in here. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It happens to me a lot when I'm working. I don't have time, you know. And so what happens is I think on the inside, but it's not in your mind. It's somewhere in here, in the spirit. And then you remember a few hours later and it happened what I was thinking about. That's what it means praying in the spirit as well. Have you ever prayed at night while you were sleeping and then woke up and remember you were praying? You weren't saying any words, but you were sleeping and praying. I do that a lot, especially on Sunday mornings, you know, when I'm sleeping, I'm preaching a message already. I'm putting the scriptures together like, okay, that one. Oh, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be awesome. And I'm still sleeping. What happens is, guys, we have a spirit. Even when my body is out, my spirit is not sleeping. It's the coolest thing. So when I tell you sometimes I've been praying for you, I have. But it's not because I wanted to, because I thought, because I put it on my plan, not because I'm so disciplined, but I got a Holy Spirit. And I've been praying for you in my spirit. And then Holy Spirit has been dealing with me about what to say. And next time I see you, I already know what to say. I say, the Lord says this and that. It's the coolest thing. Guys, we have this power available to us. Holy Spirit will even talk to you about bad people in your life. You'll be working, doing your job, talking to the people, and your spirit is talking or praying. I don't know if you ever had that. You did. I know you did. It's awesome. And then God speaks to you, says, don't do business with that person. Don't do business with that person. Or when you still disobey and do business with that person, then you later say, I wish I didn't do business with that person. Guys, I know it happens in your life. So praying in the Spirit does not always mean that you have to be speaking with your words. Now, next one. Praying in the Spirit gives Holy Spirit physical expression. This is the most important one. Praying in the Spirit gives Holy Spirit physical expression. Now, how many of you ever seen Holy Spirit? Nobody? How many of you ever heard physically Holy Spirit? Maybe some, very rare. So, Bible says Spirit is like a wind. It comes, it goes, you don't know where it's coming from, you don't know where it's going. Right? So Spirit doesn't have a physical body. So you can't hear Him. Let me give you an example. Let's say you have relatives 1,000 miles away from here. And they start saying, Andre! Does Andre hear them? No. What does Andre need to hear them? It's a telephone, cell phone. Right? He needs a physical thing that would connect between him. Same thing with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not physical. He is spiritual. Has no body. So he needs a way to express himself on this earth. The Bible says life and death is in the power of your words or your tongue. So what is a word? Word is a thought plus a sound equals a word, right? Okay. Well, let's work with that. A thought, is it a spiritual thing or a physical thing? A thought, your thought, is it a spiritual thing or a physical thing? Thought is a spiritual thing, right? A sound, is it a spiritual thing or a physical thing? It's a physical thing because you can hear it. Thought plus a sound equals a word. Thought does not become physical until you say it, until you write it, or until you act it. Your thought does not become physical until you say it, write it, or express it. I'm going somewhere. In order for God to do something in this world, a word must become flesh. So a thought that God gives you must be manifested somehow. You have a thought that you love somebody. How do they know? You express it. You don't even have to say a word. Do you need a word to make a thought be physical? No. You can give somebody a hug. You had a thought. I love you, man. I give you a hug. I expressed it. Now it became physical. The thought became physical. Until I have it in my head, I could be walking around. And that's it. So Holy Spirit has many thoughts. And He needs people to, He needs sound, He needs a phone. And almost like we become used by God as a phone to speak the words of the Spirit into the physical. So whenever you pray in the Spirit, what happens is you are taking the thoughts of God and giving them sound. And a lot of times the prayer is not for you, for somebody else. And God says, none of your business what you're praying. You know how we like to get into people's business? Especially when we know people have problems, we're like, oh, we'll pray for you. Tell me more. So what God did, isn't God awesome? What God did, He says, you pray for him, but I'm not going to tell you what you're going to pray. It's not going to be using your mind. It's going to be out of your spirit. He says, all I need is your sound. Now, don't give life to evil thoughts. How do you give life to evil thoughts as well as good thoughts? Same thing. You speak them, you write them, or you express them. I could be going by Julian. What did I just do? I didn't say a word, but I just expressed my thought towards her. Parents, whenever you look at your children or husbands, when you look at your wife or wife, when you look at your husband, if you look with a disgust, I look at you with disgust. You're disgusting. I didn't say a word. But guess what I did? I expressed the thought. I don't have to say it. I just need to express it. It becomes physical. So whenever we pray in the Spirit, we give Holy Spirit expression. You know when you cuss, you give the devil his expression? Cussing is actually out of cursing. And curses, Bible says, you can speak curses or blesses, blessings. Ooh. Holy Spirit said, you don't have to say a word. You can just express it. How do you look at poor people? How do you look at people who are less fortunate? How do you look at people who are maybe not in their own mind? You express what you think. So don't just watch your words, people. Watch what you think. And then if a bad thought comes, we have a tool. Bible says we arrest it into the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5. You arrest it. You don't express it. A thought comes to me to be suspect of Andre. And I go. And I don't say anything, but I'm just suspect. Just by not saying anything, I expressed it. By not saying, I already expressed it. Andre knows. I said it without, it's just not my words. But anyway, we're talking about Holy Spirit now. Now, don't be lazy with praying in the Spirit, only in your spirit. Don't be lazy and saying, well, I'll pray in my spirit in here. Bible says, Paul says, I pray more in tongues than all of you. Why? Because there's so many people Paul knew. He didn't know what to pray for them about. Parents, you don't know what to pray about your children many times. We don't. We pray in the Spirit. And we trust God that He's going to take care of it. But this is the beginner's gift. Bible says that speaking in tongues is a lesser gift than prophesying. So it means it takes a little less faith for speaking in tongues than to prophesy. God wants His church prepared for something. I don't know what it is. And that means we're going to have to learn how to exercise our gifts and not be lazy. We're going to have to go in our rooms and maybe in the morning or at night or whatever, we're driving in our car and you don't know what to pray about. We're going to need to go in the Spirit and say, God, I'm just going to speak in the Spirit and I'm going to trust that You know what You're doing. I'm going to trust that You know what I need. I'm going to trust that You know who I need to be praying for. Remember, Bible says, pray without ceasing. Well, it's impossible to pray without ceasing. I mean, how much can you pray? But when you're in the Spirit, it's not impossible. You begin to pray whenever you're reminded. And even when you're sleeping, your spirit is trained to pray. And even when you're driving, you're praying. And even when you're working and talking to people, you hear your spirit praying. And then when you hear the Spirit praying, whenever next time you're in your prayer room, let's say the Spirit was praying for Francis, I go in my prayer room and I speak it. I give physical, I give flesh to the word that I heard. Don't just leave it in there. When you were thinking about somebody and you were something, go into your prayer room and pray and say, God, this person is needing this, this and that. This person is struggling right now. I pray that You encourage them. I pray that You bless them right now. I pray them that You love them right now, like never before. Guys, this is an awesome gift that we have. Jesus said you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When disciples received the power, it came with speaking in a different language. And everybody here could speak it. It's available to all of you. And you need to have it if you want to. And Jesus said, if you ask God, He will give it to you.